daf is Becharos daf mem tes. We left off after the Mishnah and daf mem chesam beis. The Mishnah and daf mem chesam beis discussed various cases where there were children who were mixed up with each other, and we didn't know who was a Bechar, who wasn't a Bechar, cases where Pidyon HaBen was already given to the Kohen, and then, Rachmana Litzlan, one of the children died before Shloshim Yom, so questions of whether the Kohen has to return the money, and the essential rules are that Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya, if money has not yet changed hands, we always assume that no one's going to have to pay unless it's proven that they are Chayiv to pay. We even had one case where the father would not have to pay Pidyon HaBen, but the son himself would, because it was a case where there were two potential fathers. One of them had a son that was a Bechar, the other one had a firstborn daughter, and we just don't know which one the male Bechar belonged to, so neither father would have to pay, but the son himself knows that he's a Bechar of somebody, because there were two different women that the boy and the girl were born from, so he knows he's a Bechar to somebody, so the child himself would have to pay. So essentially, the rules are consistent throughout the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Maishna Shnei Kohanim Da Azil Gabe Hayim Madchilei V'Azil Gabe Hayim Madchilei. Why is it when you gave the money to two Kohanim? We're going back to the first case of the Mishnah Mestama, that you have two women that had never given birth before. They each give birth to a baby boy, so you have to give 10 Slotim to the Kohen. If one of the children dies within 30 days, the Kohen returns 5 Slotim, because one of them, it turns out, was not Chayiv in Pidyon HaBen. If you had given the 5 Slotim, five slum each to two different Kohanim, then you're not going to be able to get the money back from either of the Kohanim, because either one of the Kohanim can tell you that the money that was given to him was for the surviving child, and therefore they're entitled to keep the money. So frek the Gemara, why is it when there are two Kohanim, each of the Kohanim are able to tell you the one that was the money that was given to me was from the surviving child? Kohen echad nami leizel gabe hayv lidchia leizel gabe hayv lidchia. Even if it was a single Kohen that received the money from two different fathers for two different pidyons, so when you go to one father, the Kohen should be able to say to that father, maybe it wasn't your son that died, it was your friend's son that died, and therefore I'm not going to give you money back. When the other father comes to him, he should say the same thing to that other father. Maybe it wasn't your son that died, and I don't have to give you back your Pidyon HaBen money. Meaning, why do we assume that if there are two fathers that gave the money to the same Kohen, that he automatically has to give back Chamesh Slaim? Can't he tell each of the fathers that, how do they know that Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya, how do they know it was their son that died? So answers the Gemara, Amar Shmuel Bebaba Harsha'a. The case must be that they wrote a Harsha'a where the two of them joined together, the two fathers wrote a Harsha'a, each one a power of attorney, each one to his friend, and the Bal Harsha'a, the one who's carrying the power of attorney, who's now representing both fathers, can say, look, Miman of Shuch, you have to give me the money, because you either give me the money mitam father A, or you give me the money mitam father B. One way or the other, you're going to have to give me the money. That's the situation of Babar Shah. The Marit al-Ghazi raises the question, why can't we just say that the case is that the case of the Mishnah is that one of the fathers was poda both children? Because after all, the halacha is you could be poda ben chavero, even shalom idaito, even without his knowledge, without his approval. There's a concept in halacha of zachen la'adam shelo b'fanav. So it turns out that in that situation, the Kohen would not be able to be docha him at all. Why do we have to come on to this idea of harsha'a, even without harsha'a? If you're talking about one father who was poda both children, it was all his money. He was zachen la'adam shelo b'fanav to be poda the other guy's son as well, and therefore for sure the Kohen would have to pay him back the money. So in the Hagos of the Marit al-Ghazi, he quotes that many Farshim write that it's very dochak to say that that's the case of the Mishnah. It's a very unusual case. A guy's not only going to be poda his own son, he's going to be poda somebody else's son as well. So very dochak to say that that's the case of the Mishnah. In the Reishis Bikurim, he's docha the Marit al-Ghazi, and he says that even though it's true that you could be poda ben chavero, but he says, think about this for a second. What are the mechanics of being poda ben chavero? He says the way the pidyon works is that the Kohen is zocha in the Chamesh Shlaim on behalf of Chavero, on behalf of the other father who's not there, and only after that is he zocha li atzmo, is he zocha in the money for himself. You might ask, wait a second, if that's the mechanics. You give the money to the Kohen on behalf of you, on behalf of the other father, right? On behalf of the father who's not present. The Kohen says, I am hereby acquiring that money on behalf of that father, not as a kohen. Now I'm doing it as a on behalf of that father, and then I automatically give it to myself as the mitzvah of pidyon haben. But isn't there a requirement to give pidyon haben if the kohen at first is only serving as a shaliach for the father? So how can he then give himself the money? Very, very strange. But apparently there is such a concept by pidyon haben that there is no mitzvah of nesina per se. Remember we discussed in the past couple of days about a kohen who has to give pidyon haben whatever unusual circumstances by a ben chalal, and we assume that he is zocha in his own pidyon money, that he's zocha in his own pidyon haben money. Where's the nesina? Apparently you don't need a nesina, it just needs to be in his possession, and he could be zocha in the money. So if that's the case, says the Rishis Bikurim, it's as if it came from two different fathers, and the Kohen could be docha each and every each father. You're not going to say that it all came from one person, because the Kohen was zocha on behalf of the other father. Mashal ma davar dama would be like two people, person A and person Reuven and Shimon, both have firstborn sons. Shimon doesn't have any money, so Reuven gives him as a matana chamish shlam so that he could do the mitzvah of pidyon haben. Certainly, the Kohen could be docha each of the fathers in that situation. You're not going to say, oh, it's all from Reuven, so give Reuven the money back. No, it was already given b'matana to Shimon. Okay, so Shmuel says that the case is that baba harsha'a. So, frankly, Gemara v'armi nardoi lo kasfina drachta metaltli, but didn't the nardoi say that we don't write a harsha'a on metaltlin? We only write a harsha'a on karka, and over here we're dealing with metaltlin. Says the Gemara, that's not entirely true. Hani mili hecha de kafre. That's only where the person who you're being toveya, the person who you're making the claim against, denies that he owes anything. Then you can't write a harsha metaltalin. But over here, the guy's not denying that he owes anything. The Kohen realizes, obviously, that five of these slayim shouldn't belong to him. It's just that you can't prove who they really do belong to. So that's why he's not going to pay until you can bring a raya. But he knows, he's not denying that he owes the money. Where there's no denial about owing the money, then certainly you would write a harsha. In order to understand these couple of lines of Gemara, in terms of the background and how the Rishonim discussed them, it's important to know a parallel sugya in Maseches Baba Kama Daf Ayin. The Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Ayin talks about this concept of not writing harsha metaltalin, and it gives two reasons for why we don't write harsha metaltalin. First, it says because metaltalin is in the reshus of the nitva, and the Toveya claims that the Nitva has stolen them, that it's Gezel Biyada Nitva. So it turns out it's like any other stolen property, where the Gazlan and the Nigzal are neither the Gazlan nor the Nigzal would be permitted to be Makdish that property. The Nigzal wouldn't be able to, because obviously it's the Eino Ber Shuso, it's not in his possession right now, and the Gazlan can't for the more fundamental reason that it simply doesn't belong to him, it's not his. So just like you can't be Makdish it, so too, you can't be makne to another, to a shliach, that he should be mezake in it for you. Meaning you can't write a harsha. Harsha is that I'm making a shliach to be able to be mezake in it. But if I can't even be makdish it, how can I be makne through a harsha to a shliach? So that's the first explanation the Gemara has, that when you're claiming that someone else owes you money, and he's denying it, so that in that situation, when you're claiming somebody else owes you money, it's like a situation of a gazlan and a nigzal. I couldn't wait. It's after leave early. It's like a situation of a gazlan and a nigzal, and in the situation of a gazlan and a nigzal, neither one is able to be maktishit. The second reason the Gemara gives in Maseches Baba Kama is that they don't write harsha metaltlin only in a situation where you know that the nitva as kofar in the tviya, that he denies owing anything. And the reason is because at the time that the Edom sign on our Shah that the Toveya is the Toveya is writing over to the Shliach, it looks like Chasimas Sheker. It looks like they're signing a lie. Because the Toveya writes to the Shliach that he's being makna everything that he has biyat ha-nitva. Now the Nitva's denying it. He's saying, I don't have anything of yours. So it looks like the Edom are signing on a Sheker, because they're signing that the Nitva has something. The Nitva saying, I don't have anything that belongs to you. But if the Nitva is never kofer, he never denies having something that doesn't belong to him, like in our case. He doesn't deny it, he just doesn't know who to pay it to. So then you're allowed to write harsha even on metaltalin. So essentially, our Gemara fits a lot better with the second explanation, because our Gemara says, we only don't write harsha on the metaltalin, hecha de kafre, but where hecha de lo kafre, where there was no denial, kasvinan, then we would write a harsha on metaltalin. It happens to be The Rishonim in Bava Kama Dafayin and Shavuos Daf Lamed Gimel and Beis all say that we paskin like the second understanding of that Gemara Bava Kama Dafayin. Like it sounds like an our Gemara. The Ran in Masechet Shavuos gives three reasons why we paskin like the second understanding. First of all, he says we always paskin like the Lishna Basra over the Lishna Kama. Second, because Bechoros Daf Mem Tes works a lot better with the second understanding of the Gemara Bava Kama. And third, that the Gemara in Shavuos also works a lot better with the second understanding. Tosfos in Masechet Shavuos says b'shem Rabbeinu Tam that the Maisa were knowing to write a harsha'a even on metaltalim that the nitva is kofer against what our Gemara says. Our Gemara says we don't write on metaltalim when the nitva is kofer. When the nitva is not kofer, we will write on metaltalim. Tosfos over there says b'shem Rabbeinu Tam even when the nitva is kofer, we'll write on metaltalim. And Tosfos says the reason is because the whole svara for not writing on metaltalim that the nitva is kofer is because it looks like it's mechzi kishikra. It looks like the Edom are signing on a shekar. He said, well, there are a lot of places in Shas where we're not choshesh for mechzi kishikra. So we're not going to be choshesh over here that this is not going to be the one place we're going to decide to be choshesh for mechzi kishikra. Okay, but that's the background to harsha'a. So again, top line of Memtes Amud Aleph. V'armin ardai lo kasvin adrachta metaltali. Didn't ardai say that we don't write harsha'a metaltali? Hani milech de kafri avlech de lo kafri kasvin. And that's only when he wasn't kofer, but when he was kofer, but when he's not kofer that he owes the money, we would write Arsha. Zachur nekevein kan the kohen klum. We said if there's one male, one female child, the kohen gets nothing because neither father knows for sure that he had a bechor. So Tan Rav Huna shnei zecharim unkeva ain kan the kohen klum. Not only that, if there are two males and one female child, the kohen would get nothing. Now, why would the kohen get nothing? We know for sure there's a bechor in that mix. We're talking about two wives, two women married to two different men. Neither of these women have had a child before. They give birth amongst them. We don't know who gave birth to what, but amongst them there are two boys and one baby girl that come out of this. So the kohen gets nothing. One of them is definitely a bechor because both women had babies and there's only one girl. So somebody is a bechor over here. So nevertheless, ein kan the kohen klum because neither father knows for sure that his son is a bechor or that he has a son that's a bechor. Not only that, the sons themselves are not going to be chayv and pidyon ben because each one can say, maybe I'm not a Bechor, maybe I'm a twin with that girl and I came out second. Maybe the other guy is a Bechor, maybe the other son is a Bechor. So neither of those sons, neither of those little boys are going to be Chayv and Pidyon HaBen. Now the strange thing is, the Gemara is asking, that case wasn't mentioned in our Mishnah. So the Gemara answers, V'tana didan, kiven de anashim, hu de mishkachasla, bi'ish echad v'shtei nashim, lo mishkachasla, since this halacha is only in a situation where there are two separate fathers, there's two separate men, this situation would not arise when there's only one man, so lo masinle, that's why we don't mention it, because if there's only one man, so then he knows that he's got a bechor from one of these women, so then he would certainly have to pay the chamesh shlaim, and that's why it doesn't get any mention in our Mishnah. Says the next Mishnah, meis haben betok shloshim yom, if the son dies within 30 days of being born, even though the money was already given to the Kohen, the money now gets returned because there is no Chiv of Pidyon HaBen. Says Rashi, why is the money returned? Because it's Gloy Milsom Afreh, the child was in Nafel the whole time, he was never a viable fetus, he was never a viable person, and therefore there's no chiyuv of shloshim yom because until shloshim yom because it's only at shloshim yom that is yotze midei nefel. That's why there's no chiyuv of pidyon haben. Tosas writes that Rashi bechinam pirish Rashi came, that this was Rashi did not have to say that the child is a nefel. Let's say it was a full term 9 month pregnancy. The halach is when you have a full term 9 month pregnancy, it is not a nefel. Still, there's not a chiyuv of pidyon haben, says Tosas, because the chiyuv of pidyon HaBen is not when the baby is born knowing that it's not a nefel. The Chiv of Pidyon HaBen only begins L'achar Shloshim Yom. If the baby never made it to L'achar Shloshim Yom, then there's no Chiv of Pidyon HaBen. Simple enough, meaning between Rashi and Tosos, what if you have a robust, healthy child who, Rachmana Litzlan, gets hit by a car or falls, some terrible accident, gets killed within 30 days. Healthy, robust child. The child was definitely not a nefel. So according to Rashi, the Chiv of L'chora is right away. It's just that Shloshim Yom proves that he wasn't a nefel. If you know he wasn't a nefel, then there should be Pidyon Din Aben. According to Tosfos, no. The Chiyuv only begins Li Achar Shloshim Yom. The Amrit Al-Ghazi writes that Rabbi Yeruchim says like Rashi, and he says that the Pshat in Rashi is as follows. Even when it's called, even when you have a full-term pregnancy, there's not going to be a Chiyuv of Pidyon Aben. And Buddy says, Rashi really agrees to Tosfos Misvara, that the idea is that the Chiyuv only kicks in after 30 days. It's just that Rashi holds that since Rabbi Shimon Gamliel learns his din of Shloshim Yom, of an Adam, that's the Shloshim Yom Ba'Adam Zeno Nefel, from the fact that the Torah is Mechayiv Pidyon HaBen after Shloshim Yom, we see from there that the time of Dekra is because of Nefel. But the Torah doesn't want us to rely on our Yedios of Kalulo Chadashav. That we have a Yedia, yeah, that was a full-term pregnancy, that's very hard to determine what's called for full-term, because again, the Gemara assumes that Yeledes, that Lemukton, that if Letitia is any Yeledes Lemukton, and therefore if it's born sometime in the ninth month, that would be a Nefel, it would have to be Mamish Kalul Chadashav, too difficult for us to determine. So the Torah goes there, that Bekalof and you're not Chayiv until Shloshim Yom. So that's how we understand Shitas Rashi. Good, says the Mishnah Vayter, Liach Alamin Yom, if it was after 30 days, Afal Pishalonas and Yitain, even if the child died, but it's after 30 days, and the father had not yet done Pidyon HaBen, he has to do Pidyon HaBen on a dead child. Meis biyom shloshim kiyom shalafanav. What if the child dies on the 30th day? So Tanakama says, it's like the 29th day. There's not going to be a chiyuv of Pidyon HaBen. Rabbi Kiva Omer, im nasan lo yitol, vim lo nasan lo yitain. Sounds like he holds it to suffix, that if you've already given it, then you can't take the money back. But if you did not give it, you would not be chayiv to give the Pidyon HaBen. So frekting mar amai temai derabban, and why did Rabban and say that day 30 is like the previous day. So Gamri Chodesh Chodesh mi Midbar. They learn out Chodesh Chodesh from Midbar. It says by Pidyon HaBen Uptiyum Ben Chodesh Tifteh, and by Midbar it says Pekod Kol Bechor Zachar mi Ben Chodesh Vamala. Chodesh Vamala, which gives you the indication that it's only Ben Chodesh when it's a little bit on the Vamala side, when it's more than 30 days, but on day 30 it does not yet count. So Ma Hasam Umala Av Hachanami Umala. Rabbi Kiva Misafkli, but Rabbi Kiva is not sure. Midistrich L'michtav Umala Gabe Erechin V'lo Gamri Mimidbar. From the fact that by Erechin it also uses the word Umala, and we don't just learn it out from Midbar. Havlu Shneksu Rabban Kechad V'kol Shneksu Rabban Kechad Emelandin. Maybe we should say it's Shneksu Rabban Kechad, and therefore it's very limited to those two cases of Erechin and Midbar, but it would not apply to Bechar in general, and therefore by Bechar in general on day 30 you already have a Chiyuv of Pidyon. Or maybe the whole din of Shneksu Rabban Kechad Emelandin means we're not going to use it to teach us about other areas of halacha. But over here, what was the case of Midbar? What do we talk? We say by Midbar it says Chodesh. What is what's it talking about by Midbar? Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Pekod Kol Bechor Zachar LeBnei Yisrael Ben Chodesh Mala V'Salas Mispar Shemosam. It was about being Pod Bechorim. So maybe within the Indian that the Midbar was talking about, which is about Bechor, so it makes sense that we should be able to be Malamed even when Shneksuv Naban Kechad. Shneksuv Naban Kechad teaches you not to be Malamed the Kalatarakula. But within the Parsha Bechor itself, of course you should be Malamed. So he's not sure how to view this. Therefore, Rabbi Kiva says, I view it as a suffix. Fine. Amar Ravashi. Hakol modim leinyan avelus yom shloshim kiyom shalafanav. Everyone would agree, though, that should the father sit shiva, should the parents sit shiva for a child who dies on day 30, everyone would agree that you don't sit shiva, that it counts as the child dying on day 29. And we always pass on like the divrei hamekel ba'avel. We're always more mekel when it comes to hilchos avelus. That's the question. Alach divrei hamekel ba'avel. Is that a klal separate from the klal of safik derabban? That Savik Drabanan Lukula, because the Avelus is only a Din Drabanan, so it's actually a three-way Machlok Rishonim, whether Avelus is a Din Darais or a Din Drabanan, whether Kol Shiva's Darais, that's a very small minority view, or Yom Rishon, which is the Yom Amisa's Darais, and the rest of Drabanan, maybe the whole thing is Drabanan. So Halach Divrei Mekel Ba'avel, if you hold Avelus Drabanan, maybe what do you even need a rule of Halach Divrei Mekel Ba'avel? Just say Savik Drabanan Lukula. So one One could be that Alach Divrei Mekel Bavel breaks the rules of Suffolk. Let's say you have a machlokas of a rabbim against the yachid, so there's no Suffolk, you pass on like the rabbim. Yet, when it's a rabbim against the yachid, you would still say Halach Divrei Mekel Bavel. So Halach Divrei Mekel Bavel, certainly there are other reasons also. It's a more expansive rule than just typically saying Suffolk Derabbanan Lekula. Now, the Bach and the Shach both write that a ben is not ro'ui to have pidyon a ben until 30 days, until 30 full days have passed, and on the yom shloshim ve'echad, that's when you could first do pidyon, meaning up until 30 days are over already, meaning you count me'es la'es, 30 24-hour periods from the time of birth, up until that point, you can't do Pidyon HaBen. The Magen Avraham, however, writes, in the context of a discussion of doing Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos, in Hilchos Shabbos, in Shin Lametes, Sivkat Nches, Magen Avraham says, no, you don't need 30 full days. This year is 1 month. 1 month is not 30 full days. 1 month is 29 days, 12 hours, 793 chalakim. That is 1 month. That is a lunar month. So you only have to wait that amount of time from the birth in order to do Pidyon HaBen. And he says the raya is from our Gemara. Because our Gemara asks, why did the Rabbanan hold that day 30 is Kiyom Shalafanav? What do you mean? If you need a full 30 days, it's Pashat day 30 is Kiyom Shalafanav. You haven't had a full 30 days. Elamai must be talking B'chiyah Gavna that it's already 29 days, 12 hours, and whatever, 793 Chalakim, that have passed, and therefore you would think that it should be Chayv and Pidyon HaBen, and that's why we ask Mai Tamayu D'Rabbanan. Right? So it must be that that's the case. That's the Raya that the Magen Avraham brings against the Bach and the Shach. Okay, next Mishnah. Meis Ha'av B'toch Shloshim B'cheska Shlo Nifta Shiyavi Raya Shenifta. If the father dies within 30 days, so we assume that he did not do Pidyon HaBen, until someone's able to bring a Raya that he did do Pidyon HaBen, the natural assumption is that he did not do Pidyon HaBen. La'achar Shloshim Yom B'cheska Shenifta Shiyam Lo Shlo Nifta. If he dies after 30 days, then we assume he did do Pidyon HaBen, because most normal people do Pidyon HaBen right away, unless they tell you that he didn't do Pidyon HaBen. So Rashi writes, Shiyom Rulo means that the son says, yeah, dad told me on his deathbed that he didn't do Pidyon HaBen, or someone says that, the son's not going to be able to say, but unless it's way after 30 days, but someone says that the father said on his deathbed that he didn't do 30 days, meaning you don't need Eidos, all you need is Amira, that's all you need. The Chazakah that we are Machzikim is Becheska Shenifta is not such a strong Chazakah, because most people do not do the Pidyon, do not pay Chovos, let's say, right away, immediately when it's due. So the Chazakah is not the strongest Chazakah in the world, mainly you don't need Eidos that he didn't pay, you just need Amira that he didn't pay. It's Mashma that way from the Rambam as well. The Rambam says if the father dies after 30 days, it's Becheska until he let us know that it's not nifta. So he says hoda'a, that's all, let us know. He doesn't say edus. So that's but the achronim already say, well, wait a second, shouldn't there be a difference if the father dies, let's say, on day 31, or if the father dies 20 years later? Shouldn't that make a little bit of a difference? Most people do pidyon haben soon after the chiyuv begins, within a day or so of when the chiyuv comes. So the Imre Bina says, yeah, you have to draw some sort of chiluk. Not clear exactly where to draw the line, but you got to draw some sort of chiluk between the different time frames. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, who liftos ubenol, the Mishnah Vayter rather, who liftos ubenol liftos? Let's say a guy's got 5 slime, and he's got to do, he never had a pidyon haben, and his son never had a pidyon haben yet. So what do you do with those 5 slime? Who kodim lebeno? Father comes before the child. Rabbi Yudah Omer, Rabbi Yudah says, no, but no kodmo, shemitzvaso alaviv, umitzvas beno alav. His son has to come first, because the chiv to do pidyon haben on his son is his chiv. The chiv to do pidyon haben on himself is really his father's chiv. It's just by default, his father didn't do it, he's going to have to take care of it. But primarily, it's his father's chiv. So everyone agrees you have to take care of you first. Question is, what does it mean taking care of you? Taking care of your pidyon, or taking care of your mitzvah? And your mitzvah is the mitzvah on the son. Says a person does Pidyon HaBen within 30 days before the child's 30 days old. Rav Amar B'no Padoi. Rav says, so it works you know, as long as the child survives 30 days, well, we'll see what the case of the machlokas is. Rav says it works. Shmuel Amar ain beno padu, and Shmuel says it doesn't work. So Amar Rava, the Bachad's in Amar Rava, do kuli alma me achshav ain beno padu. Everyone would agree that if you're saying the pidyon haben should work now on day 14 or whatever, everyone would agree that that doesn't work. There's no chiv pidyon haben yet. Lachash shloshim yom v'isnu lamaos vade beno padu. Everyone would also agree that if, let's say, on day 14 you say I'm giving this 5 slam to the kohen, that should be effective after 30 days are up for pidyon bini, and the money is still around after 30 days are up, the money is still in this world, everyone would agree in that case that it certainly does work. Keep ligi, the whole machlokas is la'achar shloshim yom v'nis achlu hama'os. It was after you say that this should be chal la'achar shloshim yom, but by the time la'achar shloshim yom comes around, the money's already gone, the money has already disintegrated. So Rav Amar b'no padui, Rav says it does work, midid hava kedusha isha, just like kiddushin, a parallel case in kiddushin would work. Hasam lav alfa gavdin sachla mos have a kiddushe. By kiddushe isha, you give something right now and you say you should be mekudeshes to me la'achar shloshim yom, and the money's not there la'achar shloshim yom, it still works, it still counts as a good kiddushin. Sachinami lo shna. So here also it should be just as good. Ushmuel amalach, and Shmuel would say no. Hasam biyado lekadsha me'achshav. Big difference. When it comes to Kiddushin, 30 days later, if you wanted to do the Kiddushin then, I'm sorry, within the 30 days, if you wanted to do the Kiddushin then, you could have done Kiddushin. For whatever reason, you wanted a delay. You weren't ready for the Kiddushin at that point, so you said it should be Chal Lachar Shloshim Yom. But a Maisa Kiddushin at that moment could have worked. By Pidyon Aben, when you're within 30 days, doing Pidyon at that moment could not have worked. And that's why it's not going to work if Lachar Shloshim Yom, the money is not around. V'afagav de kaimelun, de kol heichel de pligi Rav Shmuel, hilchsa karav b'isuri k'shmuel b'dinei, hacha hilchsa kavasi de Shmuel. Even though, generally speaking, whenever you have machlokas Rav and Shmuel, the halach is like Rav by Yisr v'heter, we assume Rav was a greater expert in Yisr v'heter, and we always pass him like him, and by dinei mamonis issues, we always pass him like Shmuel, over here the halach follows Shmuel. The question is, what does that line mean? We're dealing with Pidyon HaBen. We discussed yesterday with Shimon Shkap. What exactly, I think it was yesterday, we discussed with Shimon Shkap has a discussion. What exactly is Pidyon HaBen? Is it Dinim Mamonis or is it Isser V'Heter? Somehow the two are related to each other. If Shimon had this yisod that the two are related to each other, that it is a Isser V'Heter that works through Dinim Mamonis. So over here we're saying, even though normally we would pass in Hilchsa Karav V'Yisurei, over here we pass in like Shmuel. Does that mean, why do we pass like Shmuel? Because this isn't really Isurei, this is Dine, because it's Dine Mamanus, Pidyon HaBen is primarily Dine Mamanus? Or do we say, no, what the Gemara is trying to tell me is, this is Issa V'Heter, and therefore we should have passed like Rav, even though it's Issa V'Heter, every once in a while, Shmuel is correct, even on an Issa V'Heter case. So unclear, there are two ways to read that Gemara, probably that the whole discussion in the Achronim, of what is Pidyon HaBen primarily, would hinge on how to read this line of Gemara. So now the Gemara is going to try to bring Raya's, who's correct in this machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. When he gave the pidyon money within 30 days, and the money was gone after 30 days, even though you only wanted the pidyon to be chal after 30 days, does it work or not? So Raya number one, Tanan. If the child dies within 30 days, and you already gave the money, which means you gave it early, still the Kohen returns the Chamesh Shloim. Sounds like the Kohen only has to return it because the child died, but otherwise it was a valid pidyon. Time of the mace. Hello, mace, pino padui. Had the child not died, this would have been a good pidyon, even though you paid it early. So you see, it's a raya to Rav that it works. Answer Gemara, no. Hachem askin on de'isnu l'maos. No, because the case of the Mishnah is that the money's still here. The whole machlokas Rav and Shmuel is when the money's not here anymore. Everyone agreed, if the money's still here, it's going to work. So Tashma Raya number two. Becheska shlo nifta ad she nifta. That it's becheska that the child is not niftes within 30 days until we know that he was niftes. Meaning, if the father died within 30 days of the birth, we assume that the pidyon didn't happen unless we know that it did happen. What do you mean, unless we know that it did happen? How could it happen if you can't do a pidyon within 30 days like Shmuel would tell you? So isn't this a raya that Rav is correct again? And so Gemara, no. Hasam nami, dis nu l'mos b'nayu. Everyone agrees if the money's around after 30 days that the pidyon done within 30 days works. That must be the case that we're talking about. Tani Tana Kameder of Yehuda. Podas b'no b'tol shosh miyom b'no p'adu. If a person's podas his son within 30 days, it works. Amr Shmuel, Amr Lei, Shmuel Amr ain't b'no p'adu. V'at Amr b'no p'adu. He says, how could you say that? Shmuel says that it doesn't work, and you're going to say that it does work? So the Bach adds in, Tani, Ein b'no padoi. Yeah, they changed their mind and said you should say Ein b'no padoi. Valgav the kaimelon karav b'isuri k'shmol b'dini. Hachlech so kavas said Shmuel. Even though generally speaking we pass like Rav b'isur v'heter Shmuel b'dini mamunus, over here we pass like Shmuel. Who liftos b'no liftos who kodem l'b'no? The Mishnah said if he has a choice to be poda himself, be poda his son, he comes first. Tan Rabbanan. Who liftos b'no liftos who kodem l'b'no? Rabbi Yudah Amar b'no kodmo shemitzvas alav of mitzvas b'no alav. Exactly the machlokas we had in the Mishnah. You do your own pidyon first, your son's pidyon first. Amr Rabbi Yirmiya, Hakol Mod Mecha Dalaka L'Chamish Shlaim, Hu Kodem L'Bno. Everyone agreed that if you only have five Shlaim, you got to do your own pidyon first. My Taima, the Mitzvah Didei Adif. His own Mitzvah is better. Ki Pligi, where's there a Machlokas? Hechadika Chamish Meshubados V'Chamish B'nei Chorin. Where you have five Shlaim in your possession, that's the Chamish B'nei Chorin, but five that were Meshubadim, meaning that were in your possession at the time of the birth, but have since been sold to somebody else. So Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Milva Ksuv B'Torah Ksuv B'Shtar Damya, that when there's a Chiyuv Mamon demanded by the Torah, that's like a Chiyuv Mamon and Shtar. And when you have a Chiyuv Mamon and Shtar, they're able to be Tofes Meshubadim. You could collect that from So v'didei azul v'tar from mishabdei. For his own pidyon, they can go and collect that from the nechasim mishubadim, because that money was mishubah to his own pidyon. U'bahani chamesh b'nei chorin parak le'lebrei. Use the five slime that you have in your possession actually right now, and use that to be poda your son. The Rabbanan say no. Milvak suv b'tor lavak suv b'shtar damya. For pidyon aben, you're not going to be able to be tarif mishabadim b'chol mikra. So at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to be tarif anything from he who you sold it to. All you've got is your own money, your own five slime they have in your possession. Hilkach mitzvah didei adiv. So your own mitzvah certainly is going to take precedence in this case. The major discussion of the Chazon Ish asks whether there's a better solution. Why don't you be poda both with the five slime? How do you do that? Give the coin five slime b'matan al manas lahachzir for the pidyon of one of you. Then he'll give it back because it's matan al manas lahachzir, and then give him the money back again, and he'll be poda the second guy. So the Chazon Ish says that we're talking where the coin's not interested in matan al manas. He wants a matana gemura, so you can't be kofa him to be mekabel a matana almanas achzir. Who says he doesn't want it? So you can't say that it's necessarily talking about that case. Rav Shlomo Zalman in Micha Shlomo Chelgav Simul Chavav says why wouldn't he want it? At Bechol Mikra the guy only has five slime. So either you're going to get these five slime if you're the kohen, or you're not going to get these five slime. It's not like you're going to get 10 out of him. You can't draw water out of a dry well. So he's got five slime. So why would he not want it? He doesn't like the Chazon Ish's tarot so much. In Hartzvir, Tzvi Pesach Frank, in Yardeis, in Rish Rim Zayin, he says, no, that we're choshish, the coin is not going to return the money. And in order not to be mevat of the pidyon, the father has to be mochel on the tanai. I mean, if the coin says, yeah, I know I said that I was going to return the money, but I'm not. So what's the father going to do in that situation? Father says, "Oh yeah, well then it doesn't work for you. Too bad. You're stealing from me." Coin says, "Fine, I'm stealing from you, but you don't have pidyon aben now because it was matan al manas achzir until the tanai is fulfilled. You never gave me chamesh shlaim, so now I'm just a ganav, and you never did the mitzvah pidyon aben." So the father might say, "Okay, fine, I'm ochel. Forget about the tanai. You can keep the money." And then it's going to turn out that again he was only able to use it for one person. So that's why we don't want to say it's talking about matan al manas achzir. The more fundamental issue that all of the Achronim talk about over here, he only has five slime, and we're going to be mechayvim to use it for pidyon aben. Isn't there a rule? The Gemara Masech Ksuvos tells us, and it's paskind in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tav Reish Nun Vav in the Ramah, that I'm a vazvez ali vazvez yosem michamesh, that for any mitzvah you don't have to spend more than 20% of your money for any mitzvah. So Ram Shik writes in the Tshuva and Siman Shin Lamed Aleph that pidyon aben is a chiyuv on money. So whenever you have a chiyuv in money on your money, a chiyuv on your nechasim, you have to use all your money to pay for those for such a chiyuv. Rav Moshe has a more fundamental answer. Rav Moshe writes in Igros Moshe Chelik Hei or Chaim Chelik Hei Simen Mem Aleph that We say a mevazir dali vazir is yosur mechomesh when there's no dollar value assigned to a mitzvah. How much should an esrog cost? I don't know. Depends on the market. There's no dollar. If I have an esrog tree in my backyard, it should cost nothing. How much should it? There is no dollar value assigned to most mitzvahs. So then we say, okay, how much money should I spend on it? Al yivazir is yosur mechomesh. Don't spend more than 20%. But when there's a particular dollar value assigned to a mitzvah, very rare, obviously, to have such a mitzvah. Pidyon HaBen is just such a mitzvah. Chamesh Shlamim, there's a particular dollar value assigned to that mitzvah. So then you're always going to have to pay that dollar value. The whole rule of a mevazeh is only, we don't know what value to put on a mitzvah that doesn't have a value. But if a mitzvah has a value, we know what value to put on it. So we don't have to come on to mevazehs. The other Tarz, Bir Alacha, discusses this issue in Tafresh and Vav, and Bir Alacha says, no, we're afraid a person is going to become poor and he's going to have to collect tzedakah money. So that's for a person who has five slaim and has nothing else and doesn't have a job. But if a person has a job and he earns enough money to survive each day and he happens to have five slaim in his wallet, so yeah, he'll have to spend all five slaim for Pidyon HaBen. It's not going to be yay ani. He'll be able to make enough money tomorrow to support himself for tomorrow and the next day to support himself for the next day. That's one of the suggestions of the Bir Alacha. There's a couple of other suggestions also. It's a very long Bir Alacha, a very beautiful Bir Alacha. Tries to be miyashev all the Gemaras and Sukkah, etc. I'm going to have to run though. I've got to get to Yeshiva early today, so I apologize. Oh, yeah.